Let us pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities, who redeems your life from the grave, who crowns you with mercy and loving kindness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless to us your word. Amen. On this first Sunday of Lent, we have well and truly set off on our journey towards the Feast of Easter. And the season of Lent mirrors those 40 days and 40 nights which Jesus spent in the wilderness before he began his public ministry, just after his baptism was when it happened. And this was a time of preparation. And likewise, the journey through Lent is for every Christian a season of preparation, a journey made in the heart, a time for self-searching, under the spotlight, not only of God's judgment, but more, God's love and mercy. A time for taking extra time to meditate on God's word. A season for repentance when we mourn our sins. Lent is a trumpet call, hearkening us to turn back to God, to let him have his way, to forgive us and create in us new and honest hearts. Lent is a journey with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. Lent should be a time when what is hidden is fully revealed. That is, our motives, our hunger, our goals, our use of power, our loves, and our dealings with others. This Lent, can we say as we sang, "It's your power at work in me, changing me"? If we use this season of Lent well and take its opportunities, we shall be changed. We shall be both emptied and filled. Yes, Lent is both a fast and a feast. We can discover both wilderness and abundance. And in my sermon today, as we explore Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, a very familiar passage and encounter, I hope to uncover three hidden words or ideas. And in doing so, I hope that we can understand its message for us and its meaning this Lent. We begin with Matthew 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the Greek New Testament word that Matthew uses there is parēso, a word that means tempted or tested. I've been thinking, was Jesus tempted here, or was Jesus tested? And what is the difference between temptation and testing? The dictionary's definition of temptation describes that desire to do something unwise, to follow an impulse that will have a negative outcome. To put it another way, temptation happens from the inside out. It begins with a thought, then an impulse, then an action, and then a consequence. Temptation happens from the inside out. But I think testing is different. Testing happens from the outside in. Testing, according to the dictionary, is about examination, evaluation. And the very origin of that word test is linked to the earthenware vessel or pot in which, in days gone by, metals would be tested, heated, tested for their quality and their purity. Yes, testing happens from the outside in. Temptation from the inside out. So was Jesus tempted or tested? I believe on the strength of the scriptures, it seems he was tested in this wilderness experience. Matthew 4 verse 1 tells us that Jesus was led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Therefore, the wilderness was the place that God the Father wanted Jesus the Son to be. And 40 days and 40 nights was the time that God the Father wanted Jesus the Son to spend there. This was planned, echoing what Peter was saying in his word earlier. This was to be for Jesus a time of solitude before the public and pressured ministry. Then crowds would surround him, but here in the desert he walked alone. A time to focus, a time to prepare, a time to decide. I believe that the heart of Jesus was and is pure. For he was and is the sinless Son of God. His motives were pure. In him there was no darkness, only light. So I believe here in this encounter with his adversary, Jesus was not in two minds. His one mind was set on doing his Father's will. It was his single purpose. I believe this time in the wilderness wasn't for Jesus inside-out temptation, but outside-in testing. Yes, Jesus, in those 40 days and 40 nights, faced the heat of testing, just like that metal in the earthenware pot. Put under great heat and pressure to test its quality and purity. Likewise, this was an external examination for Christ, under great pressure. Jesus was on trial. His character, his motives, his use of power, all questioned by God's adversary, Satan. And standing on the firm word of God, seeing through the enemy's lies, Jesus would show his true mettle, his resilience, and his purity, and ultimately his true identity. Where Satan would question, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, Jesus came out sure and strong, knowing he was the Son of God, and he would only listen to him. What does this say to you and me today? Well, sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us or drives us through desert places to be tested, to go through trials. Not because God is against us, but God loves us and wants us to know how much we love him. He tests our faith. He tests our trust in God. Not to crush us, but to purify us and to make us stronger for what lies ahead in our lives. And I know, because I know you, that you have come through stronger. Your character and strength has shone through the trials that you have encountered. Many not of your choosing, but yours to respond to. We can learn to recognize the difference between temptation and testing. To see the enemy in one and God in the other. Which leads me to the second of these three hidden truths within this Bible passage that I want to highlight next. And it's in Matthew 4, verses 5 and 8. Then the devil took him. And the Greek word there for took is paralambano, meaning to journey alongside, to take with. Matthew tells us that the devil took Jesus to the top of the temple in Jerusalem. And the devil then took Jesus to the high mountain. The devil wanted to take Jesus where Father God did not want him to go. Again, we notice the devil was beside him, not within him. Our adversary, Satan, isn't an inner voice in our heads, but it's an outside influence, an unwelcome companion on our journey through life, and not one we want to keep close to our side. But his influence is outward and not inward. He wants to take us where the Holy Spirit will never lead us. The enemy wants to take us into situations that our Father God doesn't want us to go. But friends, the good news is that if the enemy is our companion, God in Christ is closer still. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He gives us a way out. God is stronger. Our God is stronger, as we sang. Our God is greater and helps us to stand firm. And this truth is expressed well in these verses of Isaac Williams' hymn, "Be thou my guardian, and my guide, and hear me when I call. Let not my slippery footsteps slide, and hold me lest I fall. The world, the flesh, and Satan dwell around the path I tread. O save me from the snares of hell, thou quickener of the dead. And if I am tempted to sin, and outward things are strong, do thou, O Lord, keep watch within, and save my soul from wrong. Still let me ever watch and pray, and feel that I am frail, that if the tempter cross my way, yet he may not prevail. And we shall overcome. Many New Testament scriptures encourage us. 1 John verse 4 affirms, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. James 4 verse 7 encourages us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The enemy might journey with us, but we don't give him a room to rent in our lives. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, the devil prowls round the Christian like a roaring lion. But we won't let the enemy take us. For we serve a greater lion, the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ. And so the devil doesn't scare us. We will not be his next meal, and we will not feed him. The devil might sometimes be beside us on our journey, but we won't listen to him. And this wilderness encounter is all about listening. Would Jesus listen to the Father of truth? Or would he listen to Satan, the father of lies? He would resist and overcome the enemy, and by God's grace and help, so shall we. If we listen to God's voice only and obey God alone. And the good news, friends, is that this time of testing is not forever. Eventually, the devil was deflated and defeated and left Jesus alone. And ministering angels came and refreshed the Lord. A wonderful picture of his humanity, of his need to be attended to and waited on. Which brings me to my third and final word for us to discover afresh today from Matthew 4, verse 11. The devil left him and angels came and attended him. And that word, the Greek word here for attended, is diakonio, meaning to serve, to provide spiritual and practical care. And diakono is the root of the more familiar English word deacon. And in the life of the church, a deacon is a helper. And we should not view a deacon as a lower rank of ministry. Not at all. A deacon is one on the same parallel as any ordained priest, one who attends to the needs of God's people. And in our Methodist church, we have the diaconal order, men and women deacons ordained to serve both the church and the community, who figuratively stand in the doorway of the church, keeping the door open both ways. Jesus was ministered to by angels, the messengers of God. And that lovely scene reminds me that Lent is not just about us waiting on God, important as that is. We can and we must, in these weeks ahead, let God minister to us. Let God nourish us with living bread and living water. Let God bind our wounds, heal our hurts, and show us the power of his love and forgiveness. God loves you more than you know. So watch out for and welcome the angel messengers of God this Lent. And these messengers of God can come to you in different guises, as faithful friends, as Christian brothers and sisters, who encourages with a timely word, an arm around the shoulder, a helping hand. And watch out for the ways in Lent that you can be such a messenger for others. So, in this sermon, I've uncovered, I hope, these three hidden words and truths. This Lent, may you discern times of testing. Distance yourself from the enemy. And desire the spiritual and practical care that God offers you, his precious child. Further times of testing would come for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the cross of Calvary. But here in these 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, the die had been cast, the decision made, the path of obedience chosen. Now Jesus was privately prepared for the public ministry that lay before him. It has been rightly said, it is not in the public arena, but in the quiet of your own heart, before the Lord, where the enemy is defeated and victory is won. We follow where he has led. We shall share in his victory and be transformed into the people that we were always meant to be. For the glory of God. Amen.